Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak in front of your people, Lord God. I ask that you would just speak to all of us, Lord God. God, help us just to hear from you today, Lord God. I ask that you would just be with me in this time, Lord God, that you speak through me as well as speak to me, Lord God. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have been praying and, you know, just seeking God, asking God what he wants me to speak on. And lately, he ends up hitting me at work. And I just like, man, Marquise, this is so good. Because I'll be sitting there just listening to some music or something. And God just be like, here, speak about this. So it reminded me of a boxing match. Who has seen a boxing match before? On TV, in person? So with seeing a boxing match, they're fighting and they're giving it all they got, and maybe they got knocked down, but they're not out. They still have another chance until they get knocked completely out. So with us, we have to remember that we may be down, but we're not out. That's what God reminded me of. He kept saying, you're down, but you're not out. So that's the title of today. I'm down, but I'm not out. A lot of times we go through hard trials and tests, and we think, okay, this is it. God, I don't know what to do. But we have to remember who we serve. We have to remember how big he is and how great he is, and that he still is in the blessing business. Amen? The first scripture we will go to is Luke chapter 9. We'll go to Luke chapter 9. If I can get my Bible to work. Luke chapter 9. And we'll start at verse 12, I believe. Let me change this version. I have it in the New Living Translation. I'll change it for you guys. What do you have? Show it, Michael. Okay, that works. Let's go to NIV. Okay, so Luke chapter 9, verse 12. It says, late in the afternoon, the 12 came and said, send the crowd away so that we can go to the surrounding villages and the countryside and find some food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. He replied, you give them something to eat. And they answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. That's only the men. That's not counting the women and children. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups, about 50 each. And the disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the fish. Wait, before we go into verse 16. So just looking at it, they didn't have enough. 5 loaves and 2 fish and 5,000 men. Just men. That's not counting the women or the children. So in that situation, if we're looking in the natural, it looks like we can't feed these people. That's enough for a little boy. Not a man that's been working all day. People that are tired. A pregnant woman. That's not enough. Because I don't know about you, but when I was pregnant, I was like, okay, this isn't enough. But he said, have them sit down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke it. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. So they were down. But when Jesus took it in his hands, so us, when we give it to Jesus, then he can bless what you have and he can multiply it. So then you're no longer out, but you're just down. You're in between the blessing. You're waiting for him to multiply what you have in your hand. A lot of times we're holding on to something in our hand. We say, this is all I got, God. I don't want to give it. This is all I got. And I know for me, a lot of times if I'm going through something, he'll end up putting someone in my path so that I can speak into their life or I can pray for them. And I'm talking to them and they're going through the same thing I'm going through. I'm like, Lord, how can I encourage them? And he said, just be a vessel. So a lot of times, sometimes you have to take your focus off yourself and begin to look at those around you. Well, a lot of times we get so caught up on ourselves that we can't be a vessel for God to bless someone else. But we have to remember the God we serve. So he took what they had, which us in our natural, we said that it looks like it's not enough. But he began to bless that. And it wasn't just enough to feed them, but it was to have some left over. And you know, the disciples, I laugh when I read this because I'm thinking in my mind, in the natural, the disciples are like, don't you get too much. You only get a little bit. You know, they're trying to be stingy and greedy, thinking, man, don't take 2 loaves. Don't take more than what you need. Don't take all that. And you know, they're trying to thinking, you know, I need some. I'm trying to keep some for myself. But if you just put it in God's hands and let him do it, can you imagine the look on their faces when they're collecting the 12 baskets full, not just 12 pieces of bread. You know, we have just 12 pieces of bread left over. No, 12 baskets. And I'm sure that the baskets they had weren't just like a little offering bucket, but it's a basket that you would carry clothes in. God will multiply what you have as long as you seek him, as long as you trust him and allow him to do it. We have to give all that we have to God. I was reminded of the lady, I'm not going to go to that one, we're going to go to another scripture in a minute, but I was reminded of the lady that said, all I have is enough to make a cake for me and my boy, and we're going to eat this and we're going to die. And the man that was with her said, make me one first, and then you guys can eat. Us in our natural be like, you want me to do what? You want me to take the last little bit that I have and give it to you? And what are we supposed to eat? But when you follow God's command and you obey, then God can bless you. Many of times, me and Marquise we've sold our tithes and our offering, or we bless someone, and then we're getting low. And we're like, okay, God, we're trusting you. And there comes a knock at the door. God told me just to bless you with some groceries. Or there's someone, I was supposed to give you this check a long time ago. I'm sorry, I forgot. And they give it to you. Or reminding me of a lot of times we were going through something and we would be with family. I'm like, no, I don't want to be the one that always have to ask for money. And so right when we're getting ready to leave my dad's house, he'd be like, you all right? I'm like, yeah, we're good. Here, take this money anyway. Like, no, dad, we're good. He said, no, I want you to have it. Why? Because God knows when you're obedient and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, God will bless you. God will bless you. So turn to someone and remind them, say, I may be down, but I'm not out. You have to remind yourself, I may be down, but I'm not out. I may be in between the breakthrough, but I'm not giving up yet. Yeah. Don't give up. Continue to trust in God and know that he is able. When you don't feel like it, when you don't know where it's coming from, we have to trust in God. We have to trust in God and know that he's able to move. One quote I heard this week, I think it was from a pastor of Elevation Church. He said, you know that in the stretch is where God begins to move. When you're being pushed and it feels like it's too hard, that's when God begins to move. He has to take you through some things for you to begin to see him move. If things just begin to fall and it's just easy, 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 when are you going to look to God? Sometimes I believe God allows us to get into a state where we're backed against the wall and the enemy's coming at us and we don't know what to do. Why? Because then we have to look up to God. We have to look to him for our help, our strength. Remember, in the stretch, that is when God begins to move. That's when things begin to happen. That's when you're pressed to be, okay, I got to get on my face. When he begins to attack your family, begins to attack your job situation, attack your finances, that's when you're like, okay, enough is enough. I need to get on my face and begin to pray. And sometimes it takes us getting to that ending point where we're like, okay, God, I'm about to lose it. God, I don't know what to do. But when you begin to pray and you begin to cry out to God, then he begins to show you what to do. So remember that in the stretch is where God begins to move. That's just so powerful. I was like, okay, God, I would just begin to pray while I was at work. I was like, okay, I hear you, God. I hear you. That's when God begins to move.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
The next scripture we're going to go to, 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" This reminds me of a message I preached not too long ago. What do you have in your hand? What gifts, what talents do you have in front of you? And that reminds me of, because a lot of times me and Marquise, I keep saying I want to work from home or I want to get closer to home. And he's like, well, what gifts, what talents do you have? What do you want to use? And I hear that on a podcast that I listen to sometimes. It's talking about finding your purpose, your sweet spot. And a lot of times people are like, well, I have these talents and these gifts. Okay, let's line that up and let's see how you can use them. But it all starts with, what do you have in your hand? What are you gifted at? What do you have in your house? That's what he asked her. Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Something that we think is so small in our natural eyes. God can do the impossible with. Elisha said, "Go around and ask your neighbors for empty jars. Do not just ask for a few." So don't just go to the right and to the left. You need to go everywhere, is what he's saying, basically. "Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour the oil into these jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left. So he didn't just give her just enough but he gave her more than enough. And I like the fact that he told her not just to go to this house right here and that house right there, but go all through the neighborhood asking, asking for the jars. And because she had faith, look, things that God asks us to do, sometimes we don't understand. God, why are you telling me to go and do this? And it doesn't look in the natural, it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to ask for these jars. They're empty. I don't have nothing in my house. I have a little bit of oil, just a little bit of oil. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But it's what she had in her house. And she was obedient. And I'm thinking, when I'm thinking of this and I'm reading, she just pouring. I'm sure the sons are like, what in the world? How are we bringing her all these different jars? We got like 20 jars right here, and she's still pouring. She's still pouring. And we give her the last one. She's still asking for another one? That's the great big God we serve. We think that, okay, my little situation, it's not that big. It's only one little medical bill, Lord. I just need this money. Now, I don't know if he can handle or if he even hears me praying for this one little thing. Do you know we serve an awesome God that doesn't just overlook the little things? He doesn't say, oh, that's too small. I'm not going to do that. I'm waiting for something big. No, we serve a big God that sits high and he looks low. And that he will handle every situation, no matter what it looks like, if we just call upon his name and we begin to seek his face and we begin to give it to him and know that he is able. And then when he tells you, go stand over here and just watch me do what I got to do. When he tells you, okay, Monica, I want you just to go ahead and go to that audition. I know they said they're not accepting any more people. Just go and be obedient. And as you go and you're obedient, then God begins to move. Say, oh, so-and-so didn't show up. We need you just to, are you ready? So we have to know that the God we serve is able to not only meet our need, but he paid off the debt for her. But then it said that she even had enough to live on after that. So it's not, he wasn't just like, okay, I'm going to handle that situation and then leave you. We don't know what we're going to do. My husband's dead. I got my sons, but I don't know what else I'm going to do. No, he said, let me just give you a little bit, even more than what you had. More than what you had. But we have to be faithful. Can you imagine if she said, no, that's foolishness. We just going to go home. We ain't going to do that. I don't know what we're going to do, but we just going to do something else. Do you know how things would be shooken up and things would have, they probably would have came and took the boys or who knows what. But because she was faithful and said, okay, this ain't making sense, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. We always try and see things through the natural and it doesn't make sense to us. But when we trust God and we ask him, okay, God, help me to know that as I trust you, I don't see it. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know how it's going to happen. But as I trust you, I know everything's going to be okay. You know, Swedish is doing some layoffs in different areas and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit over there. Maybe a little bit from every team. But I say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I don't know what he's about to do. But I'm going to seek you. And he just kept saying, you have peace. Just have peace. And I had a dream. And in my dream, I came in the house and my dad was sitting on the couch. And he said, why are you worrying? It's going to be all right in the morning. Just trust God. And I was like, oh, okay. And he got up and I was like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going for a walk now. And he left. And since then, I was like, okay, I got to just have peace. And, you know, they did do the layoffs like they started. They started doing the layoffs, and it hit close to home because the whole customer service, which is just right down the aisle from me, all 30 of them, they said, we're going to just have someone else handle that work. So it hit kind of close to home, and I was like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? It's too close. But he said, just trust me. I said, okay. He said, you have to be the one, even in the midst of everything. You seem like you're down, and yes, they may be cutting, but let me tell you, I got you. You're not out. Even if they do cut you, who's your supplier? I said, okay. Okay, I had to remember. He said, so then you can be a light. Even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the test, in the midst of the battle, you're able to be a light, to encourage people. It's going to be okay. And people are panicking. Are we next? Are we next? I was like, you know what? We can't be like that. We don't know if we are next, but right now, we still have a job to do. They still can, you know, fire us if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So we're not going to worry about them doing cuts. We're not going to worry about any of that. We're going to seek God and know that, okay, I have a job right now and I'm thankful. So let me just do it to the best of my ability while I'm here. Because you never know what you're doing. If you're faithful and they say, okay, we're going to cut this department, but because you're faithful to the end, you don't know what God's going to do, how he's going to bless you. But I just thank God for that peace. And I thank God for that favor that he's given us, that we can trust in God. And when we feel like we're down, remember, you're not out. You're down, but you're not out. And like I said, I have to read this one more time. Know that it is in your stretch that God begins to move. So if he's not stretching you and things are just going great, but it's when you feel like, okay, God, God, I don't know. You're getting a little worried. It's getting a little intense. God sometimes will throw things in it just to shake you up, for you to look to him and rely on him and say, okay, God, I got too comfortable. I stopped walking and praying like I'm supposed to. I stopped, you know, going and doing the things I was supposed to do. I got a little comfortable. Let me get back to my routine. But we have to know that God is in control. God is in control. And God is looking for our obedience. Because our obedience is better than sacrifice. We have to remember that as we obey God, he'll move in every situation. And we just have to give him all that we got. We have to continue just to trust in him. So while you're feeling like you're being beat down or you're feeling like you're losing out, go a little harder for him. Pray a little harder, a little longer. Study a little bit more. Know that you're not out. Don't let them count you out. In the fight, when you're fighting and you fall down, don't just stay down. You got to get back up and trust God. You got to get back up and seek him and know that he'll move. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for helping us to know that we don't have to stay on the ground. We don't have to allow our attitudes to continue to be down. But we can seek you, we can trust you, and we can know that you are a God that heals. You're a God that multiplies. You're a God that restores. God, we know that we don't have to stay down, Lord God. But God, that you will move. God, you haven't canceled us out, Lord God. God, and we thank you that in our stretching moment, that's when you want to move, Lord God. That's when you want to just handle every situation, Lord God. God, I thank you that we can call upon your name, Lord God. I thank you that we can seek you and know that you are in control, Lord God. God, help us to continue just to fight the fight of faith, Lord God. Help us to continue to be planted in your word, Lord God, and continue just to seek you in all that we do, Lord God. We just thank you. We bless your holy name because you're worthy of all the praise and all the glory. We ask that you take us home safely, Lord God, and bring us back ready for worship tomorrow, Lord God. We just thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.